When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Michael Keaton here on The Rich Eisen Show. So what's your favorite ad-lib line? One that you're most proud of?
When I walk over and kick the tree over and go, there was some joke. It might have been nice mono, but then I threw in the F word.
You bunch of losers! Nice model!
Today's guests. NFL writer for The Ringer, Kevin Clark. Green Bay Packers offensive tackle, David Bakhtiari. Plus, Emmy-winning actor Bobby Cannavale. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right. I said all right. That's three of them. I feel like I'm Matthew McConaughey, but with a lot less hair. Welcome to this edition of The Rich Eisen Show. How are you over there, Chris Brockman? I'm your humble host. That's Chris Brockman
over
there.
Hey, man, we got football tonight, Rich.
Oh,
I'm pumped.
Oh, baby, do we ever.
Let's go.
Mr. Feller over in his chair. Good to see you, sir. TJ Jefferson, good to see you on this great day.
Isn't it, though?
It's a Thursday.
I mean, isn't it great to see me? Is what
it is great to see you, and it's wow. A great Thursday, and we've got football tonight. We've got football in 3 weeks from tonight, when it counts. Your Dallas Cowboys, where Dak Prescott is getting ready to just sit and watch and take maybe a third precautionary tube.
Elective MRI.
Taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I may have a different viewpoint than I had yesterday, by the way, after giving it some thought.
Well, we've got three hours to do that.
Yeah.
Right now, the Bucs are literally fighting with the Tennessee Titans in a practice.
In actuality?
That's happening. That's what happens. Certainly when the, you know, as the phrase, you know, the bullets get live. And so you practice amongst your teammates and your comrades. And if you fight, like, you get the Joe Judge treatment, which is, what the hell's the matter with you, you know? That was another thing that I missed while I was on Olympic/COVID/Hall of Fame walkabout. You Daniel Jones at the bottom of a big blue pig pile, you know.
Jeez, right?
And so now you've got teams practicing against each other, and you're going to see a lot of this stuff, and apparently this pushing and shoving. I might have seen that Derrick Henry was nobody's messing with him. He was not involved in it, but it was other people, Titans and Bucks, pushing and shoving and fighting each other. And yes. And tonight, there's an actual preseason game, man. An actual preseason contest. And it's going to be on my network tonight, NFL Network, this evening, 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. Tune into NFL Network for Patriots-Eagles. And Patriots are down there in Philadelphia. Belichick went down to NFL Films, picked up his hardware from the NFL 100 All-Time Team Show, which is great. Patriots Instagrammed out a photograph.
Love it.
Somebody had to tell Bill this is for social media, and that's how you know he's really into the NFL 100 All-Time Team Show. 2 years later is that he's smiling for something. Insta-face. Snapgram. And he took the photograph, and it was great that Brockman then texted it to all of us in the group saying, where's your Emmy Award, Rich, from that? And I'm like, I brought it in, and we did a segment on it, Chris. What the hell? Great.
Dad brain.
Disrespect.
Chris Brockman paying attention to the Rich Eisen Show.
Disrespect.
But like 2 years ago you brought it in?
Patriots
was like,
are down in Philadelphia.
You mean last time he was?
Last time he hosted.
Wow. See, Rich.
I got it. It's okay.
Wow. You said that.
Whoa, no,
okay.
No.
Hey, I saw in a piece in The Ringer, Kevin Clark's Ringer joining us, that sort of joke got somebody fired from Let's Make a Deal back in the day. When they said that to the current host of Jeopardy. When he was just the executive producer who hadn't been around in a while. They reintroduced themselves to that guy, and suddenly there was a box in front of them and told him to pack up.
So much drama.
But it's okay. You and I, we're good.
Yeah.
Patriots and Eagles tonight. What's on the line for that? Jalen Hurts is your starting quarterback. Flacco is going to be your backup. That's the end of that. I don't care how many times Flacco looks good. This is Jalen Hurts' team, I can't wait to see it. And I root for this kid. I root for every single rep to go his way. He deserves it. He deserves the opportunity. And it's a one-year opportunity for number one in your program. Hopefully number one in Philadelphia fans' hearts. Because the Eagles have multiple first-round picks next year. And they will have potentially three if Carson Wentz can get back sooner rather than later. And it sounded when Frank Reich was on this program yesterday, the Colts head coach said he was, quote-unquote, I don't know how many times he said very encouraged, but he said it multiple times. So Jalen Hurts knows that the team could pretty much choose whoever they want next year. They want to trade up for Spencer Rattler. They can probably go get him. If they want to go trade for anybody else in the league, should they somehow, some way not be investigated by the FBI when it's all said and done, as we learned yesterday, they can go get that individual as well. So this is Jalen Hurts' time, and you know he's going to be your starting quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles in 2021. He is going to be out there when the Philadelphia Eagles start the season against the Atlanta Falcons in Atlanta. That's going to be such a great game. That's a great week one contest. And I love the fact that he's going to finally get his opportunity and he's not going to be pulled in the middle of a crucial game. That's all that happens to this guy. Whether it's in a college national championship game or game 256, the guy's getting taps on the shoulder from the coaching staff. And this is not going to happen to Jalen Hurts this year. It shouldn't. And I can't wait to see him. I root for him. And then tonight, the actual battle that will manifest itself in a week one start. Cam and Mac. Mac and Cam. They're all the same letters. They're, you know, kind of like a palindrome. If you put it all together, Cam Mac. Here we go.
Here we go.
Uma Oprah. Oprah Uma.
This is it. Cam Mac. Mac Cam. Cam O Mac.
Cam.
Cam.
Mac.
Mac.
Cam.
That's the way it goes. It's Philadelphia Eagles tonight, and the defense wants to definitely show itself.
They're going to be yelling, check down Cam during the game.
I love it. My favorite part of tonight, my favorite part about tonight, is going to be the post-game Zoom where somebody's going to try and get a snap evaluation out of Bill Belichick.
Like Ben Volen?
Somebody.
Like Mike Reese?
It's going to... What'd you see out of your guys tonight?
Yeah.
I'll check the tape, check the film. But in the meantime, like, what'd you think? Yeah. And it's entirely possible that those questions will be moot because we all have a pair of eyes. And the way that the ball moves and comes out quickly and gets to the receiver on time and gets to the receiver in a manner that looks, I will say it, and we're going to keep saying it, and we said it before the draft, and we're going to say it if this kid does do well and get the start. It looks like Tom Brady. Stand back there, nice and tall.
Boom, quick decisions.
Out.
Quick decisions.
Out.
Boom, boom,
out.
Boom, boom.
Out. Take a shot down the field. Hand it off. Out. Hand it off. Out. That's the way it should go. Nice and quick. Didn't really look like that last year.
No, a lot of pat.
Well,
pat,
the
pat,
first
pat, look around, pre pat, pat, look around, well, pat take off.
Pre-pat, pre-COVID Cam, we were talking about maybe signing the guy long term.
Yeah, look good.
Because he was running and throwing. It was old school Cam.
Yeah,
if
yeah.
we see that, then we might not see Mac Jones this year.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't seem like we've been seeing that.
Well, it's preseason in practice, and I am not one of those. Well, somebody threw all these interceptions in practice. That's what practice is for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's why it's a point of emphasis. Like we're seeing all of these flags. We'll see if we see more taunting flags. I think we will tonight because it's the emphasis. This is when you emphasize things. This is our point. Don't screw with us in the regular season, is what the referees and the competition committee says when you see a bunch of flags in the preseason and we all get up in arms. Is this the way we're going to play football this year? Well, the idea is to not play football when we're emphasizing a possible penalty in the manner in which you've been playing football. So we wanted to see that. In practice, that's where you throw your interceptions. See if you can make that throw. See if you can do that. Give that one a whirl. Give that one a whirl. I'm not really one of those like, oh, God, I just saw you had four, you know, interceptions in practice. It's the incompletions. It's the airmailing of throws. That's
air
the
mail.
Problem.
Was it behind him? Was it
ball
in front
on ground.
Of him?
Ball
in the
on
dirt.
Ground. I don't want to see ball on ground.
Right. Timing.
Right. I want to see it. Tonight's game's big. Can't wait. Cannot wait. And we'll talk about all of the quarterback situations with Kevin Clark of The Ringer, top of hour number two, including Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers had this to say yesterday. Press, was this the first time he met the press like this since his return in early August,
I feel
late
like
July?
He did at least one other Zoom,
okay.
But not.
But this is no, here he is, man.
Yeah, not in person. Like
okay,
this, yeah.
And now we're getting another bites of the apple about now. What do you think about the future now that you're back and everything seems hunky dory?
I just knew when the pick was made that the clock had started for sure. And I thought, unless there was something in the season that really made me feel like I'm going to be here past 2021, that maybe this would be my last year, because I didn't want to be going into a year with some sort of, you know, as a lame duck, like I said. I just didn't think that was fair to what I've accomplished and what I mean to this team. And nothing really changed in that regard. So I went in the offseason thinking, man, that could have been it. I'm glad that I enjoyed every moment. I'm glad I led exactly the way I wanted to lead and looked for those conversations with certain guys that needed a pick-me-up at different times and took the headphones off and enjoyed, you know, the surroundings and the road trips and the time with the guys. It's a good template for sure. I don't want a farewell tour. I don't know what's going to happen after the season, but I'm going to enjoy it with the right perspective for sure.
Well, tonight he can look around and watch, I guess, is it Kurt Benkert this weekend? Jordan Love's not going to answer the bell. He's got a shoulder injury, which is, I mean.
Just not ideal.
It's not ideal. It's not great, Bob. It's
not great,
line
Bob.
From Mad Men?
Yep.
Because this is the time you're supposed to see Jordan Love out there, because you got your goat talking about soaking it all in and he doesn't want a farewell tour. And it worked well last year when we didn't think it was his farewell tour. Now we're all believing it's his farewell tour. I'm not, though. I'm not. What if he does what he does normally? What if he does it again? You're going to just bounce him? Don't forget, Peyton Manning left the Colts because he had this neck injury, and the Colts had that first overall pick, and what are they going to do? They're going to try and go back with Peyton Manning with that neck injury for 3-4 more years and pass on Andrew Luck? Is that what they're going to do?
Nah,
of course not.
Couldn't have done that.
No. So what are the Packers going to do? Just give Jordan Love a whirl and send away their GOAT quarterback? Really? Is that what they're going to do? So I'm going to take it one week at a time with this guy and believe it, that just as much as we didn't think Rodgers come back, he's a difficult fella, a complicated fella. He's not coming back. He's the type of guy that would just want to go off to Jeopardy, even though the executive producer probably didn't really want that. And, you know, and so, you know, put it all together. And who's to say that the Packers can't put together another tremendous season and they're going to let Rodgers walk? Got it. Okay. Wonderful. They'll just let him go to Denver. Got it. No problem. For what? For those three draft choices to get somebody who's not Andrew Luck? Don't forget, when people leave, how this works. Brady leaves. He's in year 20. He wanted out because he also looked around. And then he saw other places that wanted him and didn't want to keep MFers. Instead, he looked around at other places. I mean, that's Devontae Adams. That's his buddy who's our third-hour guest, David Bakhtiari. That's Big Bobby Tonyan. that's the places where I know how to drive around in my new golf cart. You know, seriously,
the country club that he re-upped.
He's gonna. Right? Yeah. With his, he loves the deep cleaners that he hires.
Cleaning service. I mean, for his house.
He probably doesn't love all of the reference words we're making because he's under a microscope or a magnifying glass. But I think after all these years, he's used to it. After this year, he will be the guy with the most years under his belt in the history of the Green Bay Packers as a Packer. He's passing both Favre and Bart Starr this year in that category. He's going to want to go if it all works out. They're going to let him. They're going to be wanting to let him go. So I hear that yesterday, and this looks to me like a guy who's just still dropping the breadcrumbs and does believe like he is going to set things up this year. And wanted to be just like last year because that was pretty damn successful, except he was flying underneath the radar with all of us assuming he was pissed. And then we found out he was pissed, and now we think he's going to go. And he doesn't want the rocking chairs, and he doesn't want the Derek Jeter, Mariano Rivera, yes, Big Poppy farewell tour. Yeah. He doesn't want it because it might not materialize. Because the guy that they want and started the clock on can't answer the bell in mid-August. And this is a guy that answers the bell unless his clavicle snapped. Facts. These are hashtag facts.
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 And I'm looking at Rodgers' last three seasons.
Just insane.
Incredible. 99 touchdowns, 11 interceptions in the last 3 years. 11.
And while we're going down memory lane, and I just want to make this point so we're on time for our first guest of the show. John Schneider, Seattle Seahawks general manager, who knows the requisite Russell Wilson questions coming in his direction. That's what makes, while we're all going down memory lane here about the Jordan Love pick, that's what makes the pick even more insane. Because we're all, as I mentioned before on the show, I might as well repeat it here, we're all focused on what happened after and what Rodgers' reaction was and all that. The fact that it happened at all, don't forget, McCarthy out. In comes Matt LaFleur, who's never done it as an HC before in the NFL. And we're all wondering, can this guy, Rodgers, who reportedly was calling his own damn plays because he's his own man and in his own mind, can he actually hook himself up willingly to the hip of somebody this young, this inexperienced? Can he do it? Can this leopard change his spot? Can this old dog be up for the new trick? Can he do it? That was a question for months. They go 13-3. They make the NFC Championship game. And they get bounced because Raheem Mostert is still hitting his head on the goalpost in that game. But that was the lead up to doing this. It's been a nice run that I don't believe is going to end. We'll ask David Bakhtiari about it in hour three. Bobby Cannavale, my buddy from the New York area. Nine Perfect Strangers on Hulu. Diehard Jet fan. Oh, yes, and the Yankees. Second place Yankees. AL wild card leading Yankees. Fresh off of sweeping the Red Sox Yankees. Getting 10 games in the win-loss column gained on the Red Sox since July 5th Yankees. Those Yankees. Bobby Cannavale coming up in hour number three.
Better team.
Hour number three. I love it when Chris Brockman is humbled into talking about facts. It's great.
That was a fact.
Oh, and by the
season
way,
started
congratulations
too.
To the Mets responding with six runs after their owner tweets. Even though they were losing 1-0 going into the ninth of a game that they won by four runs. I got it.
We love drama, Rich.
We'll take a break. Let's be as on time as possible for the GM of the Seattle Seahawks, John Schneider, when we come back right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. Because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
The way you envision the rest of the season going out, Russell, what would it mean to you to win an MVP award? What would it mean to you? I know you're what would it mean to you, do you think, for something?
Well, I think anytime anybody wins an MVP, the first thing that I think about is that means that team's winning, right? That means that team's doing a great job of winning and doing everything you can. I think also, too, you know, that's my number one objective, is to be the greatest winner of all time and try to win as many games as possible in Super Bowls too. And so, you know, that's, you know, if I'm playing my best, I think we got a really great chance of, you know, doing something special this year. And I think, you know, the rest of the guys too. And so it's a team effort. This game is so special because it's such a team effort. Everybody making their plays. Guys like David Moore making that amazing catch in the corner and, you know, tiptoeing in the sideline, moonwalking into the pylon. That was just you know, those are the kind of efforts and team moments that allow players to do special things. And I think, you know, I got to credit my teammates on that. I think more than anything else, though, you know, for me, what it means is just that, you know, all the off-season work, all the training, all the time that you spend, all the focus, all the hours upon hours, the flights that, you know, and things that you've done just to, you know, sit down one-on-one with somebody and talk to them about, you know, the game of football and, you know, and just spend some quality time with people. I think that's where those moments really show up. But I think that all that hard work and all the time trying to throw in a bucket when you're a young kid, you know, it all makes a difference. I think more importantly though, is I want to win this week, you know, and take it on, you know, and just stay focused and do that. I know that's what it takes to be great, is to stay in the moment, stay neutral, not to get too high. You know, I have high expectations, so I already know what those expectations are. So it's nothing new. I just got to stay neutral and stay in the moment.
Hey, man, thanks for coming on. Oh, last quick one before I let you go. Please tell me somebody in your team, the Russell Wilson team, is working on a cooking show called Let Russ Cook. This is happening, right?
Where you're cooking. I think somebody's working on a cookbook somewhere. I don't know where it is. I don't know who it is, but somebody on our team is internally working on a cookbook.
Exactly. It's made for it. Let Russ cook. Like, this is what you're doing. So it's got to happen. And yet it hasn't happened yet. I mean, you know, help me help you is what I say to NFL players sometimes. That was Russ in the middle of his dynamic first half of last season, where we were all talking about MVP awards. And then Rodgers, as we know, took matters over and into his own hands on that front. That was Russell Wilson previously on the Rich Eisen Show. We're back here on Peacock. We're also back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, as well as Peacock, Sirius XM. We're streaming live on Odyssey. You're listening to us on this terrestrial radio station. PeacockTV.com is how you can get us every single day. In other words, we are simply unavoidable. And joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show for the first time as a solo act on this program, we last had him on when the actor John Schneider from Dukes of Hazzard fame was on. And we had this man call him, but now this is just—it's just him. He's running this show like he runs the Seattle Seahawks. John Schneider, the general manager. here on the program. How are you, John?
Good, Rich. How are you guys doing? I hope you're feeling better, man.
We are appreciate you doing this, man, and I appreciate your sentiments. And I know you don't do this.
Is Bo Duke? Is Bo going to be on?
No, there's no Duke. And by the way, there's no Hazard. This is all. It's all green lights here, man. We're all green lights. And okay. Let's gotcha. Hop in this car and start driving it and having a good time.
Let's go.
Let's get right. Let's start talking about you signing the Prez, who's one of my favorite people in the NFL, Jamal Adams. Walk me through that process and you bestowing him with the seemingly richest contract for safety in the NFL, John Schneider.
Well, it's awesome. We're glad to get it done. When we traded for him last year, we promised him that before we made the trade that we'd extend him in the off season, and it was a long process, but at the end of the day, we got there. Everybody's extremely excited, and he's a very unique player, as you know. Guy can rush the passer and is extremely explosive. Just brings a huge energy. And great for the locker room, great for the building. He was here. He was treating our staff great, working with the coaches and everything as we were trying to negotiate a deal.
Yeah, I mean, he plays everywhere. I mean, you just don't know where he's going to wind up. And he's in the backfield almost as much as he's in the secondary. And, I love the guy. I really do. You know, I've grown up in New York City, and he's a locker room guy that can change a culture. Obviously, you don't need that, but you can use his energy in a certain way, and it's a W all around as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean, you can feel it already, actually, Rich. I mean, he's had 2 days out here where he's just been, extremely excited, obviously, and, just with the players, just been great. So, yeah, we're excited to get that done.
So what does a general manager do middle of the preseason? Like, what is your day like? I know you laugh, but I want to know exactly where you are with roster cuts and rosters and looking around the league. And walk me through what the process is like for somebody like yourself. You're 12, I believe, right, as the GM of the Seahawks. What is this like for you?
So really for us, it's all about every day. How do we improve? We always talk about winning the day, right? So how are we going to get better every single day? Our staff, now we have games this year. We have one preseason weekend in. We had the first Hall of Fame game, but which gets over-scouted more than any other game in NFL history, by the way, all the time, because it's just the one game. But
yes.
We have all of our guys that on our staff here. We have a great personnel staff, and just studying our team every day and studying other teams' weaknesses, strengths, and communicating with other teams and seeing if we can work on trades and who may be available at the 53 cut. This year's a little bit unique because we have the three games and we cut down five after the first two. And then we go to 53 from there. But having the 16 practice squad players really, really helps us. And so it's really kind of what we're doing is studying our team every day and then trying to create a landscape for the whole season. And when I say that, I mean, what does December look like? What does November look like in order to add depth at specific positions and provide the coaches and with the top, what we believe are the top players available.
And you have meetings with Pete about this? I mean, walk me through that with your head coach.
Yeah, Pete and I talk about our team every day pretty much. And, we'll talk – I mean, we'll talk about everything that's going on, every position, positions we're concerned about. We don't have a level of complacency. Obviously, you've seen that over the years, Rich.
Yes.
We're constantly working at it. We're constantly talking about where we can improve and, as we talk about in the draft process, we never feel like we have all the answers. So we always feel like that improves our communication. And so what do we look like on the offensive line? What do we look like at receiver? And, if this person, then not that person. So it's always kind of creating this short-term landscape for the coaches and then long-term for the personnel staff so that we can have people ready in spots that where guys are ready to take over it at any position if called upon, because you never know when, a rash of injuries are going to hit you.
John Schneider, General Manager, Executive VP of the Seattle Seahawks here on the Rich Eisen Show. And you're kind of a hyphenate guest too for me, John, because we know a lot of people in common.
Right.
You're tight with my buddy Jeff Schaefer, who's He's a hyphenate for Curb Your Enthusiasm, and Dave, the show Dave, you know, and so.
Absolutely.
You know, so I hear from a lot of people, hey, you got to have
John. Great guy.
He is a great guy. He's a funny guy. How come you haven't been in Curb yet?
He's still celebrating his 50th birthday, I think, by the way.
But it's like a Lollapalooza. We understand that. But how come you haven't been on Curb? How has that not happened? Have you been on? Did I miss it?
No, have not. I was on The League, which was a total blast for us because, you know, when you play yourself as an actor, it's amazing. I haven't got any checks lately, though, so you got to give them some credit about that.
You haven't gotten your residuals? I still get some from my appearances.
My residuals, yeah. Yeah, the last one was like $62, I think.
It's a good one.
I'm like, you know, where are they at?
I know that.
So. Unless my wife's hiding them keeping them from me. I don't know.
So not only do we have similar, you know, people in common, but also you're a newsmaker. And you're somebody in the NFL who can also, you know, help me out with Pete here. I think I pissed him off a little bit when he was on my show.
Uh-oh.
In the summer. Uh-oh. I don't know. You know, I don't think.
Look, I don't know if you can. I don't know if you can pitch.
I know that. You know what? How about this one?
A little bit.
Okay. I might have rubbed him the wrong way a couple times where I brought up Russell. Okay. I brought up Russell Wilson to him and what Russell was saying back in the spring. And he called it old news. He called it old news. And I don't think he really wanted me to bring it up or talk because it was old news. And I said, yeah, but we haven't spoken since then. And then he allowed the answer. So I just want to make sure Pete and I are fine because there was another time I kind of ticked. I think I might have rubbed him the wrong way also. Which I'll get to.
Well, he didn't say anything to me about it. Okay. So I think you're okay.
Thank goodness on that.
He would definitely come to my office and discuss it.
I'm sure that's at the top of his list.
We know that.
What's going on?
No, I think you did.
All right. So
all I would say about that, Rich, is that everything's great now. I mean, Russ is a guy that, you know, look, you know, passionate people say passionate things, right? And so at the end of the season, the thing that I told people, you know, behind closed doors is, you know, Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson during a season don't have the ability to sit back and evaluate, you know, the big picture like the rest of us do. And so, you know, it's my job in particular to be in our staff to be looking at what's coming, you know, what's happening in the future. So what happens is, you know, when you lose a game like we lost to the Rams, all of a sudden, you know, these guys have been embedded every single week on a schedule for how many weeks, you know, throughout a season. And all of a sudden it's like they kind of come up from, you know, they're just like waking up, right? They're like, wow, what do we do now to fix the team? How do we get better? And so, you know, Russ is an extremely hard worker, extremely passionate guy. He wants to win a world championship every single year like we do. And we approach our jobs, like I said, every day. Like, we want to be a consistent championship caliber football team for our fans because we feel like if we're not doing the things to improve our team, if you don't give your fans hope, like, you know, look, I grew up in Green Bay, and so, like, there was many times, like, you know, I didn't see a winning team until I was, like, 19, 20 years old, I think. So, you know, I always wanted the Packers, like, whoever was working over there, to have this attitude, like, hey, you know, like, what are we doing every single day to get better, and how are we going to improve? And I think that's what you see at the end of every season. It's not just Russell or Pete. It's every organization. It's personnel staff has to kind of incorporate with the coaches, you know, where you're going. And our philosophy is that we've done it the same way for, like you said, 12 years now, where, you know, how are we going to be a competitive or how are we going to be a consistent championship caliber football team every single year where your fans are excited? And so that's what drives it, and I think that's what you saw. Now, was there a huge media blitz? Sure. And, you know, the best thing you can do, you know, the guys that taught me well are just to sit back and listen and watch, and that's what we did.
Well, I mean, part of the narrative, John Schneider, GM executive vice president of the Seattle Seahawks, joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show. Part of the narrative, John, was also Russ sitting there at the Super Bowl where he had just won the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award and well-deserved, watching Tom Brady win it all. And you know, in your old stomping grounds in Green Bay, the narrative is, again, a quarterback who wants things a certain way and believes that his say should be louder in the room than it is perceived to the player. That was the general sense of things. You're a general manager. How do you view the viewpoint of your star quarterback in terms of, you know, you doing your job and getting the roster as potentially the quarterback?
Well, much like everybody else's. I mean, we're a wide open organization. I mean, really, we always talk about having no walls. You know, we talked about that. I've worked with organizations where, you know, the personnel guys aren't allowed to talk to the scouts, and the personnel staff are not allowed to talk to the coaches on a daily basis, or, you know, some teams don't let their scouts go to practice, or, you know, that's not us. We all work together. We have a great staff downstairs with our player development people and equipment and trainers and our sports science staff. We just had a really cool meeting yesterday where everybody's talking about what can we do to help everybody that's here, you know, improve. And so with that, I would say, you know, yeah, you're definitely going to be listening and taking everybody's opinions. And, you know, I look at it very much like, you know, when we're preparing for the draft and, you know, we go from having, call it 30 people in the room to, you know, 15 as we get closer to the draft, to 10, and then a couple nights before the draft, it's just, or like 2 nights before the draft, it's just Pete and I, and then the night before the draft, it's just myself. So you're constantly listening, studying, getting everybody's opinions, and, you know, players, guys especially, that are so passionate about studying, like a Bobby Wagner and a Russell Wilson, and, right. And they watch so much film, they're in the mix. You know, they can tell you things that other people can't necessarily tell you. That's why I like having, you know, former players on our staff as well, because they can tell you, you know, certain things that we may not see, or just, you know, where our blind spots are.
Another moment, John Schneider.
That doesn't mean you're always gonna agree, right?
Right.
So, you know, you listen, you communicate, and you make, you know, at the end of the day, people have to make decisions, and, you know, my job is to listen and work with Pete and keep steering the ship the way we have.
Another moment, John Schneider, where I do believe Pete bristled when I brought up his, I went there. I brought up his age. You know, because he is, as Jim Brockmeyer called, what, like the world's oldest teenager? Is that what he called him? The world's oldest teenager?
Now that Dick Clark is no longer with us.
Now that Dick Clark's no longer with us. That's what Jim Brockmeyer, the famed announcer, said. I brought that up to him, and how much longer he wants to do it. And then I immediately regretted it, because I heard it in his voice. Like, what are you trying to do, Rich, is what he said. I think that's what he said. what can you tell me about Pete's long-term future?
Working with him every day? Yes, it's been the same. So he's 20 years older than me. And there are many days where I feel like I'm 20 years older than him.
Right.
He is just a ball of energy. His brain is going 1,000 miles an hour. Enthusiastic, positive. You know, if you walk in, he calls my office the dentist office, because I'll have, like, smooth jazz on, watercolors, you know, trying to chill out and study and listen to people, try to get the stress off, right?
The dentist office.
You go in his office, and it's like, you got music playing, you got 3 different TVs going, he's studying film, and he's trying to talk to you at the same time, and I always have to say, hey, can we just mute this or turn this down, because I can't. My brain does not work like yours.
Right.
But no, he's great, man. He just keeps going and going and going, and you wouldn't know it. It's like my point. Like, he's out there throwing the football. He's got a bad shoulder. He's throwing the ball. Like, I'm like, what are you doing, man? You know, he's just awesome.
So he's going to be the coach there for a long time, John. Right,
like I would think, you know, and I have no reason not to think he wouldn't be.
Okay, before I let you go, I'd love a story about DK Metcalf, about the first time you saw him, about anything. I'm so fascinated by him. My kids can't get enough of him, just because, not only because they love him on their fantasy teams, but, you know, the different hair color. His choice of mouth guard. I mean, like, literally everything about him is fascinating to young and old. And I would love a story.
Right.
Anything that you could tell me about when you knew, you thought you knew, anything. I'll give you the floor on that, if you don't mind.
Well, yeah, my son says he's hilarious on Instagram, too, I guess.
So okay,
I guess
great. It's good to know.
The kids think he's pretty awesome. Yeah, right. So
that's a good
but,
one.
But, You know, I would think with him, he was such an interesting study because he absolutely blew up the combine. So he had so much hype around him. There were aspects of his game where everybody kind of picked him apart. Our staff in particular was really excited about just the pure intangibles and his work ethic. I think, having his father play in the league, there's a level of maturity about him. And so when he was still available, we made that move with the Jets or the Patriots, to go get him. And just to see the, you always want to have buy-in from the coaching staff when you make a decision like that. And so, we had a bunch of stuff going on, and Pete was like, "Whoa!" He's like, "Johnny, we're on the clock. We're on the clock again." I'm like, "Yeah, we just traded with New England. We're gonna take Metcalf right here." And he's like, "Metcalf's gonna be on our team?" I'm like, "Yeah, buddy, we're gonna take Metcalf right here." And then the whole room just like exploded. He's like, "Hey guys, we're taking Metcalf. We got Metcalf." And so I think that excitement where you have the buy-in from your coaching staff. So, usually, you've seen the clips where we call the guys all the time, and yeah, some guys are really excited, some guys aren't. He was, he was very emotional. Kind of pissed, obviously, that he wasn't taken earlier. But I would say, just like initially, that would be like a thought that comes to my head, or a story that comes to my head about him, because having the buy-in from the coaches to really want to work with this guy and try to help him be the best he can possibly be.
Well, the first I saw him was at the combine when he did jump out of the building and run out of the building and lift out of the building and did all that. But he also, I believe it was his mom who he then FaceTimed right away because of the neck injury, right, that caused him to maybe think that he's not going to have a career, and then his decision to leave when he did, with everybody questioning whether he was viable or not, and he crushed it at the combine, and he got all emotional. I will never forget that. And then, the story about what apparently happened with Jim Schwartz, before the game in Philadelphia, where he said he reminded him of Calvin, and that he used that as fire to go torch them. He's just a totally different kind of player, it seems to me.
Yeah, and I'm sure you've seen the clip of Pete taking his shirt off. When our guy Aaron Heinlein got DK to take his shirt off for Pete to walk in the room because he wanted us to draft him so bad. So he came walking in, and Pete was like, "Holy smokes!" So Pete took his shirt off. That was a pretty fun moment too. But the guy's really passionate. He works his tail off and wants to be great. And doesn't compare himself to other people. That's a question that we always ask guys. So it's a standard, like, well, who do you emulate or whatever, And he's like, "Hey, I don't necessarily emulate anybody. I just want to be the best I can possibly be." And his father having played in the league has really helped him. I think that gives guys a huge advantage coming out of school.
John, thanks for the time, man. Really appreciate it. Love to do this as much as you're willing up for doing. And tell Pete I said hi. That he looks great with his shirt off.
Yeah, I'll see if he's pissed at you. Okay, we'll see how that goes.
I'm sensitive. I'm a sensitive on air talent, man. That's what they call me, at least in my face. Even behind my back, it's probably worse. But I appreciate
it. Did you ever do the thing with DK where you ran, like where they showed you running and where he would be in the 40 compared to you?
Let's just put it this way. It didn't look good for me, but that's okay.
Were you at the 20?
Thank you for saying 20. My God, 25? I was at the 2. I mean, but we did, the network did try to match it up with me running as he was running down Buda Baker too, that was unfortunate for me as well. But it's all good because, like I said, I can't get enough of that guy, man. I just cannot get enough of DK Metcalf, and I'm going to stop talking about him because
he's fun.
Because somebody might take him in my fantasy league.
He partners up with one of the most underrated players in the National Football League too, and Tyler Lockett. And Tyler's such a quiet dude, and it's amazing that, it was a big re-sign for us this year to extend him. So anyway, I hope you're feeling better, Rich.
Thanks, John. I really appreciate that sentiment and this phone call. You take care. You be well.
All right. Take care.
It's John Schneider, EVP, GM, Seattle Seahawks. Right there on the Rich Eisen Show. So what do we glean about Russ? That Russ just loves to compete and be just like those guys, and that Russ is just he's a voice in the room?
Seems like he had issues and they've been worked out, and then they're still going to play a bunch of weird games this year because that's what they do.
Well, guess what, man? It's the Brady effect. You know that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think you're right.
You win in the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, which is, yeah, but that's the guy who's winning the championship right in front of you right there for a team that just went all in with their roster and everything. So screw it, we're going to go all in. And he, you know, he wants what he thinks he I don't know, man. That's DK and that's Tyler Lockett. And they did give this guy two of the best weapons in the NFL. You know, and we'll see what the offense looks like. You know, we'll see what the O looks like. We'll see, you know.
Chris Carson's no joke in the backfield.
Oh, I know that, but the offense is similar. Apparently, obviously, they took it from the Rams. If they run like the here's 3-4 formations, we're going to run 19 plays out of the same formation.
Right,
you have
right.
No idea who's going to have it.
Yeah, that's tough to prepare for, yeah.
And that's DK, and that's Lockett, and that's Russ. Deepest end of the pool, the NFC West, period, end of story. We will take a break, and we will come back, and we'll set up Kevin Clark of the Ringer. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Good story also on the other side coming up.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
I'd like for you guys to be here for a big moment of this show's history in my mind. I know we've only had about a show and a half so far. And I don't mean to talk it up in this regard, but if I can have the security bring in what's underneath this this
drum roll, please, right?
Well, would you guys mind helping?
Oh yeah!
Would
oh
you
yeah!
Mind man, just, were you taking aside?
Rich just being
Hall
here
of Famers,
is a pleasure. Man.
Marcus Allen.
I have no idea what this
and
is.
And Marshall so. Faulk. This is the DirecTV people put this together for the set, and it's going to be on here forevermore.
Are you ready?
Here we go. Ready? Please reveal it. Here we go. That is a bug. What do you think?
Oh my God.
What do you think? See, it says you got a host.
You look more like a president than a.
It should be on a bill.
Yes, yeah, I always do.
Yeah.
When I go to the Hall of Fame and walk into the bus room,
yeah.
You should kiss yourself.
Yes. I thought it was Eisenhower.
You should kiss yourself.
Well, it is Eisen. That is very Eisenhower-like.
You should, Rich. You should kiss yourself. Okay. It's okay. It's all right.
Hey, Rich. We've all
it's
done
all right.
It, man.
This is
it's
Studio
right.
Heaven.
Welcome
it's
to
right.
the club. Welcome
Marcus,
to the club. Bro.
Thanks very much.
That's
I appreciate
sweet.
That. Thank you. Hey, what do you think?
I love
do you think
it.
This is good?
I love, yes. Yes.
Okay. Very good. Thanks for guys doing that.
How does it feel? Does it...
You know what? I'm appreciative that it has more hair than it really, really, really has.
That's not how you feel. That's what you're
oh,
thinking.
Oh, that's what I feel. I want to
how
thank my
feel?
Parents,
there
my
you
folks.
Go.
Yeah, good.
There
without
you go.
Them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there you go. That's you. That's the real. That's the real deal, right
hey,
there.
Well, you got broad shoulders on that one.
Is this blasphemous? Is this wrong? Is this wrong?
Not in the television network, no.
Rich. Yeah. This is an accomplishment.
Yeah, it is. Okay. Man, take pride.
If people knew where you came from,
yes.
Back in the day when you had to set the camera up, start it, then get in front of it. Mm-hmm. That's awesome, man. Hey. This is
and if this was the real Hall of Fame ceremony, I'd speak for the next 38 minutes, right?
It depends.
Marcus?
Hey, depends. I got to tell you something. Yeah. I sit down for every one of those speeches, too. I don't move.
Rich, I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this.
And believe me, I want to sometimes.
The look you gave me after this year's ceremony.
Like, oh, like, Rich, this, man, my
all right. Of us know. All of us know.
Yeah.
You only get one chance
get
to
one
do
crack.
It.
Yeah.
And it's, for a lot of guys, it's their last chance to be recognized.
And especially those guys that have waited a long time and stuff. So, I give them their due.
Wow, I haven't seen that. It was from day two of our show's history. Day two. Wow, I haven't seen that. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program.
Hey, Rich, real quick. John Schneider, you guys were talking about DK Metcalf and his combine and the 40, and did they overlap it over yours? They did. You got a 5-yard head start on DK in the overlay.
Wasn't great.
And he beat you by 3 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So.
Sorry, I just wanted
to. No, it's okay.
I just wanted to officially clear.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Chris, because I saw during the commercial break the annual, trap door. Yeah, there's a trap door every year. For the Jets. There's a trapdoor every year. Last year, the trapdoor for the Jets last year was the entire 2020 season. And then just when you thought that the trapdoor would actually lead to a pot of gold, usually the trapdoor sends you right to football hell. But the trapdoor opening up last year on the Jets fans who thought that 2020 could be something, was, winning two games when they didn't need to win any. Shouldn't have won any.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those wins against the Rams and Browns, that'll be something that we'll sit around and have a beer about half past never. You know what time we'll talk about that? The same time we tell our kids when they wonder how much time is left on whatever task we give them. Don't get your iPad time. You got to do your reading. Oh, yeah. How much time is it? What time is it? How long have I been reading? Susie and I tell them half past Nunya. What do I mean by that? What does Susie mean by that? Nunya business. Half past Nunya. That's the next time we'll have a beer over those big wins by the Jets against the Rams here in Los Angeles and then home against the Browns, who didn't have any receivers and decided not to run it at all with their best running backs and have Baker Mayfield try to wing it around against the Jets. Don't get me started. Well, the trapdoors opened up on Jets fans already this year because the one thing that the Jets fans have been able to be totally excited about other than their head coach and third hour guest Bobby Cannavale will be perfect to chime in on this front. But the other thing that you can be excited about is the general manager building properly here by taking the left side of the offensive line and fortifying. The only concern Jets fans have had about that left side of the offensive line is it has been regularly beaten like a drum in practice by Carl Lawson, fresh from the Cincinnati Bengals, and one of those maybe free agent guys that can come in and Robert Saleh can sprinkle that Saleh fairy dust atop him and turn him into a star. What happened with Carl Lawson while we were talking to John Schneider? Chris, what happened to him?
Well, they're in Green Bay practicing with the Packers, as we know, and he went down in a red zone practice drill with an apparent leg injury.
Carted off. Connor Hughes, who covers the Jets for The Athletic, tweeted out, "Hard to express how silent this place got when Carl Lawson, the unquestioned star of Jets training camp, went down. Would be a massive, horrific blow to defense if he's forced to miss time." That's an understatement. Don't get me started. At least the Patriots tonight won't just show up on national TV with their new star and wing it all around. Hold on a minute. I'm being told that could happen on NFL Network tonight.
7:30 Eastern.
I don't know. I mean, show will go on. See what happens, we'll learn. We'll
hope
see.
It's not as bad as
carted off, though. Everybody gets quiet. Those are two things that happen in training camp that leads to very, very poor results for the individual carted off and the team who depends on that individual. Same stuff we learned about Von Miller last year. Remember that? Mm-hmm. He had that foot injury, and it's just like, oh, it's quiet. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he was.
This is when you don't want to be on live television. You just want to sit around and curse. Like, seriously, like, curse. And I know that's when you, TJ, think that's what I should do with my gravitas. I should just ball it up and throw it into the trash bin of the F-bomb.
We'll pay the fine. No big deal.
You can do it in the Peacock only.
Is that right? They'll appreciate it.
I don't think
actually, that's when I'll do the read for Dr. Death.
Hey,
everybody. Kevin Clark of The Ringer joins us in hour number two, fresh off his training camp tour in a moment.
Yeah, Rich, did you hear how Snoop and Kevin Hart were talking?
Yeah, they were talking on Peacock. Yeah,
so, hey, why not? Let's drop some.
They were indeed, weren't they?
What's the difference?
And I did. As Mr. Feller told me yesterday, he enjoyed my Peacock coverage of race walking.
Where turns out, randomly.
I said that the guy who was coming around trying to win looked like he had a walnut in his butt cheeks.
I had just woken up. I was like, did I hear that?
Yes, right? You did hear that.
That was great.
So I knew I was doing the right thing. And when the first show of Tokyo Gold and the shot sheet was telling me that I think it was Caleb Dressel. I think it was him that, you know, his it was he's now in the pool and it's his best stroke. It was the breaststroke. So I called him a breaststroke man. And I got a text from Susie saying, did you just call him a breaststroke man? And I'm like, yes, yes, I did. I did. I knew I was onto something.
Right stroke, left
hey,
stroke.
Hey, man, all I got to tell everyone at Peacock about that stuff, about me saying shuttlecock 77 times over the span of 2 weeks.
That seems like a lot.
Look at Belichick. What was he holding in his hands yesterday, huh?
Emmy.
Just saying. That's it. Look at that picture. NFL 100 all-time team. Who was the host of that show? You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying.
You're not saying.
I'm just saying.
Saying.
I'm just saying. I don't.
This is the Rich Eisen show.
I don't have one for this show or one for NFL Network per se. But
you have
time.
One.
I have one. They sent me one as well, and I actually brought it here and did an entire segment on it.
I remember that.
You do?
Yeah.
I remember. I was here.
You were there, right?
Yep.
I was here. I brought it. Chris, do you remember that segment?
I don't remember.
I can't
believe
it. He said to me yesterday, like, where's your Emmy for this, Rich?
I honestly,
like, you thought like you were going to own me. Like, the NFL Films people weren't so high class to send me one like they gave one to Belichick.
No, I wasn't trying to own you. I was just like, where's yours?
I immediately took a photograph of it office.
When did you? I'm not kidding. This is not a bit. When did you bring that in?
Like 2 months ago?
April or May?
Yeah.
Of this year?
Yes.
He had it on his desk.
Oh, now, okay, now I remember.
As opposed to all the other Emmys I win and bring in.
I got it.
Well, let's get one for this
there
show.
There it is. Oh, yeah, you there sent it. A good Tay. That's it.
Seriously,
in my office.
Dad brain. Rich, you get it.
That's a Larry Bird wooden stick figure that Coop made as well, right behind it.